peace and love be multiplied.
Amen.
How's our North Carolina folks today? I didn't know you'd get out of Boone on Sunday. Got a good drive, but nose are low, I guess. Good to see you tonight.
Amen.
Appreciate you being here. Appreciate all of us being here, whoever we are, wherever we are.
Yes.
That great unseen multitude in the parking lot. Chapter 8 of the book of Romans. As we continue our study of this most magnificent verse. And we know, I'm in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
We come tonight to this called, the called. There are two situations that must be met in order for this verse to be true in your life. And those two are listed plainly in the verse. Look at it carefully again. We know that all things work together for good to them,
yes,
that love God.
Amen.
We've discussed that now for about 12 weeks. Tonight we come to this second situation. And it is them who are the called according to his purpose.
Yes.
Let me quickly say to you tonight that to be called is a glorious thing.
Amen.
For you to be called and be enabled by the grace of God to answer that call,
oh, yes,
is a triple glorious,
amen,
thing.
Yes.
That God would have anything to do with us,
yes,
is a miracle within itself.
Yes.
But I'm grateful that he does.
Yes.
Grateful that he loves us.
Amen.
Called is the link. I want you to look down in verse number 30 with me. When you come to that verse, moreover, watch the words, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and of course then the glorification comes. There are four words there, but the thing that links the plan of God throughout the ages to the fact that you personally are saved is the word called.
Sure.
In other words, the call is the golden link in the chain,
yes,
that makes us the child of God.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Their calling must absolutely come in your life for you to be saved by the grace,
amen,
of God.
Amen.
God calls you.
Amen.
We'll talk about how and so on as we continue our study here. But tonight, I simply want to look at the simple truths that are obvious before us. Before we are called, we're under such a weight and a burden of sin that we can't even hear.
Amen.
I think it's necessary to just take a moment tonight. It'll probably be 20 or 25, but somewhere. Take a few moments and talk about where we were before God called us.
Amen.
Now the Word of God tells us plainly where we were. We were condemned, absolutely condemned.
Yes.
In John chapter number 3, verse number 18, the Word of God plainly tells us. Now there's a not in this text. Is it not? Look at this. Look how this word comes out. He that believeth upon him is not condemned. Did you get that word not in there?
Yes.
Watch this. But he that believeth not is condemned already.
Yes.
You were a condemned individual.
Absolutely.
Do you even understand what that means?
Amen.
That means that your trial has already been set. And as far as you're concerned, you're as bound for hell as the devil himself.
Amen.
Aren't Aren't you glad the call came?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, aren't you glad you answered the phone when the call came?
Yes.
Amen.
I've had many a call, and someone tell me days later, I tried to call you the other day, and I couldn't get you. Well, that's unusual. I normally answer my telephone unless I know it's somebody trying to sell me hair tonic or toenail polish.
Amen.
I don't need either one of them, so I don't answer the phone. But I normally answer my phone. But when somebody says, I called you, and I missed you. Now, I don't know what that conversation could have been. I don't know what would have gone on there. But the fact that I missed the call, you understand that? I missed the call.
Yes.
Many a person would have missed the call. The call that God sends to the sinner to call him out of the world into glory.
Amen.
Now we're going to have to specialize in that for just a moment. And we'll do that quickly. But secondly, not only are they condemned, they're cursed. Outside of God, we are all cursed. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13, we're cursed under the law.
Amen.
The law has never, never saved one single soul.
Amen.
It wasn't designed to save men.
No.
It was designed to condemn men.
Amen.
And put them under the curse of death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the thing you need to get from the law. Remember that. Not so much so the commandments, but what the commandments bring. The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Yes.
Amen.
So we're under the curse of death. Death is as sure, and I'm not talking about the cessation of physical life. I'm talking about the separation from the God of heaven. When you die without Christ, you are separated from the God of heaven forever.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Amen.
But then, of course, the lake of fire.
Yes.
Even more so.
Amen.
Condemned, cursed, if you will, under the law. The love of God makes everything that's bitter sweet. And the curse of God makes everything that's sweet bitter.
Amen.
You'll never get anywhere outside answering the call of God.
Amen.
Toward glory.
Amen.
It just will not happen. For strangers, in chapter number 2 of the book of Ephesians, verse number 12, look at this verse with me. Notice what it says. Without Christ. Is that bad?
Yes.
Amen.
Pretty bad, isn't it? Without Christ, aliens. You know what aliens means? That means one from another country.
Yeah.
That means you don't belong.
Amen.
We should know what that is. All that's taken place in this nation for the last decade and five. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. If you know not the Lord Jesus Christ and you're under the curse, the well of God's promises are closed to you.
Yes,
man.
You'll never know what it is to understand the promises of God or get the promises of God because the well is closed to you. Can you imagine that? You think about God's promises, and folks quote them all the time. I hear sinners quote the promises of God, and oftentimes when I have opportunity, I say, do you believe that? Most of them will say yes, but I say, can you claim that? It's another story, isn't it?
Amen.
You can't claim it if you haven't been called. If you're not a part of the household of faith, you can't claim it. In John chapter 5, the scripture says that man is born to trouble. He is, isn't he?
Amen.
In chapter number 14, verse number 1, it tells us that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble.
Amen.
Now, can you imagine? Just get a picture of what I'm trying to paint for you tonight. We're looking at people who will be called, some who will not hear, and some who will.
Amen.
All alike outside the call, all alike as far as their outward attitude toward God is concerned. Sinners by choice, want to, will, in spite of, they're going to do it. So the man's life without Christ is full of trouble. He's in pain and misery and fear, loneliness, torments, and tears. Whether you know it or not, every man is not born into wealth, merchandise, and land. But every man's born into trouble.
Amen.
Right. Every man is born into trouble. You can mark your calendar, it's going to come in your life.
Amen.
Somewhere down the road, you're going to meet this big, burly thing called trouble.
Yes.
And without Christ, you're going to have a hard time getting
Amen.
Through it. But there's another side of this coin. And that is those who are called, all those troubles, God turns to blessings.
Yes.
Amen.
That's what this verse tells us, isn't it?
Amen.
Thomas Watson, the great preacher of the 16th century, said these words. Said, a pastor has two ambitions. First, to show the sinner and cause him to fear because of the condition he's in.
Amen.
Secondly, to show the saint how joyful he should be because of the condition he's in.
Yes.
And he said Romans 8:28 does that plainly.
Yes.
And it does, doesn't it?
Yes.
You see, the sinner is outside the call, and none of these promises are his. This verse does not pertain to those who have not answered the call. That's all there is to it.
Amen.
So the call comes, and you hear it, you either answer or you turn it away.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, sin came into this world, and what did it bring with it?
Death.
Death follows hard on the heels of sin. We're sold in sin, blind and ignorant. Like the man in John chapter 5 that Brother Gad preached about this morning. Ignorant of truth. Blind to truth. Incapable of doing anything for himself.
Amen.
In Ezekiel chapter number 16, that is a marvelous picture of the sinner. And in that particular passage, the scripture tells us, look at the verse with me if you will. Thus saith the Lord unto Jerusalem. Now this is Jerusalem that it's speaking of, but it pertains to you and me today. Thy birth and thy nativity was the land of Canaan. That's already a curse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Under the curse. The father was an Amorite. Hey, cursed. Thy mother, a Hittite, cursed.
Yeah. Amen.
Let's get the next verse, it'll run. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Now what's that saying? You've never been cared for. But it goes farther than that. It says, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all. Now that sounds like a strange thing to us today, but I can remember when babies were salted.
Yeah.
It done something for their skin. I don't know exactly what it done, but they declared that it done something for the skin and caused the skin to get tougher almost instantly. How many of you remember babies being solid? Anybody that old? Well, two of us in the house. Rest of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Bless your heart. Next baby you have, just go ahead and solve it right here. People be wondering what's going on. But watch this. As for thy nativity, the day that I was born, my navel wasn't cut, you weren't washed, and the salt wasn't put on you, you weren't swallowed. Let's go on. None I pitied thee. Nobody wanted to help you. No one had compassion upon you. But thou was cast out in the open field, the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou was born. No one wanted you.
Amen.
No one cared for you.
Amen.
Now watch this. When I passed by thee, and I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, filthy, in your own sin, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. When God says it twice, you better perk up your ears. I've caused thee to multiply above the field. Thou hast increased and waxed great, and thou came with the excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. God says, I've done something for you.
Amen.
I've done something for you. I brought you from the filthiness that you were in, where no one cared, no one had compassion. I've done something for you.
Amen.
The sinner is in a sickened circumstance. Cannot, will not be healed. Now let's come to this call. I want to survey it for a moment, if I may. The call is twofold. There is what we will call an outward call and an inward call. Now, the outward call in Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 16. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen.
Amen.
Now, what in the world does that mean? That means the call goes out, but few. Did Jesus not say that there would be few on the pathway to glory?
Amen.
Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. We look around us tonight. I understand that the disease, the Wuhan virus, has folks scared to death and so on and so forth. But I'm glad we're here.
Amen.
I'm glad folks are brave enough to face the weather in the parking lot.
Yes.
But so many places, it just isn't so enough.
Amen.
My brother said it earlier, shut it down. Shut it down. Now, folks, listen to me. Listen carefully. I told my brother when this thing started, I said, the easiest thing in the world for people to forget is where the church house is.
Amen.
And do not think for a moment that people will not forget.
Amen.
Shall forget. Many are called, few are chosen.
Amen.
The outward call awakens man to their hopeless estate, but doesn't save them. The inward call awakens man to his hopeless estate and awakens his heart and awakens his will. And the will yields to the Holy Ghost, and God brings them into the household of faith. It's just that simple. Now, that's the simplicity of it. But it's far more complex when you begin to try to teach somebody what's going on here. As a matter of fact, the very reality that God even calls us is one more tremendous grace.
Amen.
Why would God want anything to do with you? Why would God want anything to do with me?
Amen.
But yet he calls, and he fixed it so we could answer.
Yes.
Because before the call came, something had been taking place. Before God ever called you, he opened your ears. Remember, you started hearing things you never heard before.
Amen.
He opened your eyes and you began to see things you never saw before.
Amen.
He begins to finger around your heart and you begin to feel things you never felt before.
Yes.
And when God does this operation of regeneration in your heart, when the call comes, you answer the phone.
Amen.
When the call comes, you surrender.
Yes.
Because God has prepared your heart to hear the call.
Amen.
Did you ever wonder why folks hear the call of God for years and years and years, and then someone else seems as though they hear it for the first time?
Yeah.
I've heard testimony after testimony. The first time I ever heard the gospel, I was saved. Well, now listen, that's true.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that it's not the first time the gospel has been preached to them, but it's the first time they heard it.
That's it. Amen.
When God causes your ears to hear the gospel, honey, you have a date with the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Because God has fixed it so you can hear, you can answer the call. Preaching is one manner that God uses to call me.
Amen.
But can I tell you something? The preacher that thinks he's doing the calling is an idiot in his own right.
Amen.
Yes. He might as well just put the little pointed hat on his head and say, "Look at me, I'm an idiot."
Amen.
Yes. Listen to me. I can call no one. God sent me as a trumpet.
Amen.
But I can't play it.
Amen.
God sent me as the harp. But I can't play it.
Right.
But I know one who can.
Amen.
And when the trumpet begins to sound,
yes,
it's not the words of the preacher.
That's right.
But it's the words of God that enter your heart. The words of the preacher will bounce off your cranium, but the words of God will enter your heart.
Amen.
And the word of God rides on the words of the preacher, and every God sent message is there with a call.
Yes.
Everyone.
Amen.
No preacher will ever preach a sermon that God gives him that will not have a call.
Right, man.
Somewhere in there, God is speaking to the heart of someone.
Yes.
Amen. Somewhere the trumpet begins to sound,
yes, sir,
in their ears. Somewhere the harp begins to play, and they begin to respond thereto.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, Paul said, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." What about the other side of the picture?
Yeah.
But to them that believe, it is the power of God, the word of God, God sounding in your ears.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Yes. The unbeliever thinks it's foolishness.
Yes.
But the believer hears through the preaching the trump of God.
Amen.
The call of the Lord God Almighty. Down in verse number 21, the same chapter, the world of wisdom knew not God. But God chose through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Yes.
Amen.
Preaching is God's way.
Amen.
Preaching is the way God has chosen.
Yes.
To save the lost.
Amen.
Now, preaching is not the only way. Because there have been people saved that never heard of preaching.
Amen.
But the Holy Ghost is on the scene. Aren't you glad that's so?
Amen.
Somewhere there's a witness. Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter number 1, Paul says this whole creation of God declares his glory.
Yes.
No man can look at the stars and not see.
Amen.
That there must be a creator.
Amen.
He may not know who that creator is. He may never learn who that creator is. Do you realize that God has left the world in ignorance and they perished because they looked to the stars for their salvation?
Amen.
Or looked to something they carved for themselves or someone else has carved or cast for them.
Amen.
It'll do them absolutely no good. The preacher preaches, it's man's voice, but it's God's word.
Amen.
Yes.
Little Samuel hears the voice of God calling him. He thinks it's a man's voice. He thinks it's Eli.
Right.
But it's not Eli that's calling him. It's God that's calling
him. Amen.
Did you get the picture? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oftentimes we think it's the preacher, but it's not the preacher.
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost of God.
Yes.
Amen.
That speaks to our hearts and draws us to Christ. The Holy Ghost, He alone plays the trumpet. He plays the harp. In Acts chapter number 10, verse number 44, while Peter was preaching, spake these words, the Word of God says, the Holy Ghost fell upon the crowd that was before him. Those are them which heard the Word.
Amen.
Just a minute. Think about this now. Peter's preaching. And those that heard, that means that there were those who did not. Sometimes what the Bible does not say is muchly important as well.
Amen.
So there were those who did not hear. Those who did hear, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. The Holy Ghost done His work in their hearts.
Amen.
And brought them into the household of faith. But there were those who did not hear. What happened to them? They walked away unscathed by the same power that saved the sinner near them. Because they believed. They heard the word. Did you get the picture? They heard the word. God had fixed their ears, tuned them to the right frequency. And they heard the word of God.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 16, verse number 14, Lydia comes on the scene. Paul is preaching. And the Word of God said, God opened Lydia's heart. Can I tell you something? I can knock on your door all night long.
Amen.
And it'll never open.
Amen.
But the Holy Ghost comes with the keys. He doesn't come to knock on the door. He comes to open the door.
Right.
When you hear what I'm saying to you, when the Holy Ghost comes on the scene, He comes with the key.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think for a moment that He won't open the door.
Yes.
Amen.
The The hardest of hearts have been broken by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen.
The man who went to the house of God cursing and swearing left because his heart had been opened by the Holy Ghost rejoicing in what God had done for him.
Amen.
Amen.
A world without Christ is a cursed world. And a world that will not hear the call is a cursed world.
Amen.
Thank God for some who hear the call. The inward call. The call that not just warns us of our sin and warns us of hell. How many folks you know have never heard of hell? I doubt serious that you could find anyone in this neck of the woods, anyone that's never heard of hell. I doubt serious that you could find anyone that hadn't heard the word, probably used incorrectly, but they've definitely heard the word, and
Amen.
Some kind of connotation goes with it.
Amen.
That means that every man that you know, every woman you know, everyone that's to the age of accountability, whatever that is, between them and God, has heard. But what's it done for? You understand that?
Amen.
It either condemns them or convicts them and changes them.
Yes.
Amen.
When real conviction comes, a change will take place.
Absolutely.
Now just fear doesn't always bring repentance. Do you know that?
Amen.
Oftentimes, fear but startles the individual and they never see what they need to see.
Amen.
But when God the Holy Ghost comes on the scene and brings conviction, heartfelt conviction,
Amen.
That's a key. And the key is opening the door, and the Holy Ghost is about to move in lock, stock, and baggage.
Amen.
Coming to stay.
Amen.
Isn't that good? When God does the work in your life, when you hear the call of God, you can put her down. Change is on the way.
Yes, sir.
A big change.
Amen.
Let's stand together for a moment.